Welcome to the LifeLink Church Podcast. We hope you hear something that will make a difference in your everyday life. If there is anything we can do to be a bigger part of God's plan for your life, then please email us at info@lifelinkchurch.com and let us know. Now prepare your hearts to hear God's word to you today.
How is everybody doing this morning? Good, good, good. It's great to see you guys here in the that are worshiping with us at the Gilbert campus. Those of you that are worshiping with us online, it's great to have you as well. Those of you in the building, can you just put your hands together? Let's welcome our online family as well. It's great to have you all with us. You know, Pastor Tom and the team that are worshiping online are having a great time. And so today is especially important, not just for us here, but for you as well. So I encourage you to just go ahead and focus on what God's going to talk to you about. He's about to amp you up. It's going to be awesome. Well, just before we started, just before we did Mother's Day, we started a brand new series called Family Table. Everyone say Family Table. You know, every family is all about something. Every family is about typically about sports or education or arts or something. Every family has a flavor, and that flavor is often reinforced by the daily or almost daily connection as a family around the family table. You know, when we eat together and celebrate the day and just the focus of who we are as a family around that table, our values are strengthened, our identity is strengthened, and the bonds of who we are as a family are deepened. God uses congregations in a very similar way, and he is called LifeLink Church to be together as a family, just like lots of other Bible-based Christ-centered churches here in the Valley. And every weekend we gather at the table and we celebrate the things we value together, the presence of God, his leadership in our lives, the commission that he's called us to bring people to know him as part of the of his family. Somebody's calling me on my watch right now. Don't you hate it when that happens? Listen, I'll never forget one day I was preaching in a church that we pastored in Florida, and I got right to the end of a message. It's very deep. Convicting message, and I was just about to go in for the close, and I could feel the presence of God drawing people's heart in, and just before I said, so bow your heads and close your eyes, let's pray together, my phone started ringing in my pocket, and I was like, great. But anyway, it's all the things that happen as a family, and that's who we are as a family. Well, at LifeLink Church, we're very intentional with who God's called us to be as a church family, and we're all about one thing, and that is linking people and God together for life. We don't worship on Sundays just to keep ourselves busy and entertained. We worship God because he's God. He's our Father, and he's done so much to bring us into life with him through what Jesus did for us. And the things we do every Sunday are high-stakes encounters with him and as who he is, not just religious rituals that we do. Well, God uses that connection often to bring people to encounter him in life-changing ways as well. In fact, most people actually find God in the context of a worship, in the context of a worship service. Typically, in our culture anyway, a lot of people are invited to worship at a church service. And in that context, they feel God's presence. And when you feel God's presence, you know you found him. And when you find him, you can follow him. How do you know that's true? And so that's what we see happen regularly at LifeLink Church. And we're all about that. And then helping people find their place at the table. So if you've been here at LifeLink for a number of weeks, maybe a few months, or maybe a couple of years, and you've found yourself being fed and filled, and just the joy of what God does in our worship journeys, then you know what it's like to be at the table, at the experience. But we want to invite you to join the table, and that is to be a part of the church family. So one of the things we do as a church ministry is take the opportunity for people who want to explore who God has called LifeLink to be at a deeper level, and we do something every week called Growth Track. In the Growth Track, what we do is we take people who are interested in looking at LifeLink a little deeper, we take them through a process to say, this is what Jesus called us to be as a church family. This is how he called us to operate. This is how he's called us to operate the vision he's given us to make a difference for people's lives. And we do that typically in a Growth Track class on Sundays. But a lot of times people can't make that class. And so what we wanted to do is take the month of May and actually work the whole congregation through a revision and an update on what the vision of LifeLink Church is. And so that we started that back a couple of weeks ago. Today we're going to take the next step further. And this is typically what we'd find in what we call Growth Track Step 3. And it's really all about who God created you to be. So in the four steps that we call Growth Track, Step 3 is the one everybody tends to enjoy the most because it's all about me. So what I want to do is give you the opportunity to participate in this morning. I've asked Pastor Joshua Russell if he'd actually bring the message today because he's one of our primary growth track teachers. But before I bring him out here to do that, there's one thing I'd like to ask you to do, both here in the auditorium and those of you that are online, and that is this. Our ushers are going to move through the auditorium right now and pass out what we call our Growth Track Connection Card. This is three simple things we're asking from people: your name, your number, and your email address. That just lets us give you credit for being here today, so that in the event you feel like God ever wants you to be a part of the church family, you can have credit for already going through class three. How many of you know that that's a great idea? When you buy one and get one free. So you're here, you might as well get the credit for it. So what I'd like to ask you to do is, those of you that are in the auditorium, just fill that out at some point during the message. On your way out, the ushers will be at the door. Just drop those cards at the door on the way out, and we'll give you credit for being here. Those of you that are worshiping online, or if you're here in the building and want to do it digitally, there's a number they're going to put on the screen, and you just text GT3 to that number, and it takes you to a digital version of that card. All of this is really in preparation for something God's is challenging us to do as a church family this September, and that is to multiply into two different services. And that's because we believe God's leading us into a season of rapid growth and expansion. How many of you know at least one or two people that don't know Jesus in a life-saving way yet? All right, they need to. Guess who God wants to use in order to help make that connection? You. So, you're commissioned. We want to help you get ready for it and find a place in the team that actually makes a big difference every weekend. So I want to encourage you to get ready for it. Pastor Josh is going to come out at this time. So would you put your hands together and welcome Pastor Joshua Russell as he comes out to bring the message this morning.
Can we get up for Pastor Dave one more time? Isn't he amazing? Gosh, what an honor to be up here today. And thank you, Pastor Sheree, as well for giving me the honor to be here. Did you guys have a good Mother's Day last week? Man, I did too. I was by myself for a whole week. It was great. I got to watch whatever I want, which was not really anything fun. But my mother-in-law and I got to send my wife, Tiffany, to San Francisco for a whole week. To a vacation, no kids, anything like that. Thank you for your prayers for me. I appreciate that. But she had a great time when she was there. And she was mentioning just when she got back all the different conversations she got to have with her friends, with her family. And she was letting me in on one of the conversations that she had, and it troubled me. So she's sharing this time where she was connecting with a group of people, and they were sharing in their life of just how they were very unfulfilled. They really hated their job, and they couldn't wait to retire. Now, I know there's a lot of us in here who we can't wait to retire. I get all that. But they're in their 30s. and so I heard that and my heart broke for them. But then contrast that to something I got to experience when my wife was gone. I was at the Brave Girls Outreach. Now, before you're like, why were you at the Brave Girls Outreach? You're not a brave girl. And it's true. I'm a brave boy. But I was taking my daughter. She's a brave girl, okay? So they got to go to the Amanda Care Home. I'm probably saying that wrong. Esther, I'm sorry. Wherever you are, Esther, hello. The Amanda Care Home, and they got to sing and perform for a lot of people who are in a stage of life where they're sick. They can't take care of themselves. So this amazing home that Esther Wanjay and her team run helps bring care to that facility. And she's not just some random person. She's a nurse and all that good stuff. So, yeah, she's not just like, let me get you some more water. But so we were there and we got to, you know, go to different rooms and minister to people, spend time with people. And so her mom, Mary, brought me into a room to this lady. Her name was Lydia. Lydia was battling cancer. And Mary's like, hey, can you just pray for her? I'm like, absolutely. I love to pray for people. You know, anything I can do to encourage, anything like that. So I say, well, Mary, what is it that you want me to pray for? You know, are you wanting healing? What are you wanting healing for? And here's what she tells me. I don't know how old she is, but she was in the later stages of life. She's battling cancer. And here's what she says. She says, I want God to heal me because I need to get back out there and minister to people. What a powerful, before I prayed, she ministered to me in that moment. This woman who's battling cancer, who's struggling, who's in pain, only wants healing. Her motivation is so she can go back out into the world and help minister to people. And you know, you might feel like the first group I was talking about today, you might feel like your life is directionless and you might feel a little aimless. You might feel unmotivated. And when we feel those things, we're never going to find true fulfillment in major parts of our life. But my hope today is that you would leave here like Lydia, who was so motivated to get out of that bed, to get healed, because she knew her purpose. She knew her purpose. And let me tell you something, church. All of us have purpose. God has given each and every person, I don't care what stage of life you're in. I'm looking at some of the youngest people in here to some of the oldest people in here. We all have purpose. God has given each of us something to do to affect our world and to build his church. So Heavenly Father, be with us right now in this moment. We come against any distractions, anything that would try to cause us to focus on anything else other than you in this moment. God, we refocus our minds. We reset ourselves on you as we talk about learning our purpose today and discovering what that purpose is. Speak to every one of our hearts, Lord. Speak to the areas where we've closed you off from. Awaken dreams, awaken passions again in this room tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So like I was saying a moment ago, all of us have this God-given purpose. Isn't it so great? God in all of his creativity. This is the God who breathed stars, who spoke things into existence, who said, hey, there's no light. I'm going to create light. Hey, there's no darkness. I'm going to create darkness. Hey, the earth is formless. I'm going to go ahead and just create what I think it should look like. The God that's so creative. And in all his creativity, he didn't create you and I to be the same. Thank God he didn't create you and I to be the same, right? But he didn't create us to be the same. He's designed each and every one of us, and he's put destiny into each and every one of us. This is highlighted here in Jeremiah 1:5. God's talking to the prophet Jeremiah, and he gives us some insight into how he creates each and every one of us. Listen to this. It says, I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nations. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Let me tell you something. God has formed you and he's purposed your life before you ever took your first breath. Let me tell you something else. You are God's creation. God created you to do good works. Not just know what needs to be the right thing to do, but to actually do it. To bring change to your world. To bring change to the church. To change what your family tree looks like. God created you to do good works. I love this. And I want to highlight here. So our design and our destiny, what are we talking about here? Well, look, write this down. And by the way, take notes today because this God's going to speak to us in a powerful way. But write this down. Your design represents how God shaped you for this world. I was telling you a little bit ago, we're all designed, we're all destined very differently. How God designed you is very different than how he designed me. How he puts you into this world, what he's called you to do in this world, is going to look different than what he's called me to do. And then write this down too. Your destiny represents what God put you here to do. We're all shaped for this world, and we're all supposed to do something in this world. Our design and our destiny are given to us. So like I just said a second ago, so we could effectively change our world. Does our world need change in church family? Yes. But guess what? He doesn't just want us to go out and do something in the world. He's also created us to build a strong church together. Not just some of us. All of us are supposed to change our world and build a strong church. So this destiny, we're all shaped. for this world. God's given us a shape, but he's given us a destiny, and that destiny is found in this. Go ahead and write this down. Each and every one of us have a God-given destiny that's represented in, write this down, a ministry in the church, a ministry in the church, and a mission in the world. A ministry in the church and a mission in this world. Guess what? You're already here at church today. So you're doing good so far, okay? But all of us have a ministry in the church that help build the church, that strengthen the church. Aren't you glad it's not just me that has to do it? Most of y'all would not probably be in here right now if it was just me doing it, okay? But all of us are building a strong church, and all of us have a mission in the world. All of us have a mission world. All of us have something specific that God has given us to go out and change our world, to change our world. And that's a big part of what our purpose is here on earth. It's directly tied to this. Now, I want to talk about this next part with our ministry and our mission. So we can see that we all have this destiny. God's given us a ministry in the church. He's given us a mission in the world. But we need to figure out like what that is, right? Who knows what that is? Probably not many of us. We weren't born and just go, I'm supposed to do this and here's how I'm gonna do it. That usually isn't how it works for most of us in here. It's not how it worked for me anyway. But God wants us to discover what that ministry and mission are. But first, before we can discover that, we actually have to discover how he shaped us to be in this world. How he designed us to be in this world. So that's what I'm gonna do right now. I wanna break this down of what our shape is, okay? So let's break down, how are we shaped for this world? Our shape is actually broken up into three different parts. But before we get there, I want you to write this down. Our ministry and mission are discovered when we know our shape. We gotta know our shape, y'all. We don't wanna be aimless. We don't wanna have unfulfillment. We don't wanna be directionless. We wanna know exactly how God has created us and designed us so we can move forward with him. So our shape is broken up into three different parts. This is what we're going to hit on for a while. So the first part of our shape is broken down into this. The first one is this. Go ahead and write this down. It's our personality. Our personality. This is the first part of our shape. King David says in Psalm 139, verse 13 and 14, he says, you made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. And if you're married, you're like, wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. All of us have different personalities. All of us see things differently and approach life differently. If you've ever been married, or if you have kids, or if you have friends, or if you've ever interacted with people, you know this to be true. Some of us are direct. Some of us are decisive. Some of us really are task-oriented. We're organized. We're outspoken. Some of us are witty. We're easygoing. We're outgoing. We just love to be around people. Some of us are steady, and we're real analytical, and we're real introverted and don't like to be around people. Good job. You're here today, so you're overcoming that. And some of us are goal-oriented. Some of us get real focused. And you know what? God created all of us with those different personalities to work together, to function together, to affect our world, to build our church. My wife and I, Pastor Tiffany, she's right over here, we're celebrating 10 years of marriage this year. Woo! That's what we call like a cheap pop, like where you know people are going to clap. Like that's what we call that. So everyone loves long marriages, right? So we're celebrating 10 years of marriage in August. And we've had some struggles. It hasn't been all, you know, cloud walking and stuff like that. But we've had to learn each other's personalities. We've had to learn why the other person thinks the way they do, why they respond the way they do, why they react in the certain ways they do. And I'm going to tell you a funny story. Of how this is all highlighted. So I don't know how many people still love this place or go to this place, but one of the places I like to go in California is Disneyland. And so our first time when we went to Disneyland was, we were like in our early 20s, mid 20s, something like that. And we get to Disneyland, and when I get to Disneyland, it has a very different response. I'm looking at all the visuals and all the rides. I'm like, oh my gosh. There's Peter Pan. You could fly in a pirate ship. Isn't this great? And look at all this craftsmanship from the 70s and the 60s when they built it. Oh my gosh, look, there's all these characters. And oh my, I'm interacting with people in line. I'm talking to the cast members because they all have like different, like where they're from on their name tags. And I'm just like, how did you get here? Like, what made you want to come from Iowa to, you know, work at Disneyland? And I'm excited about it, right? My wife, though, is very different, okay? She had planned out our entire day. She had mapped out everything from when we were going to go to which different world. She mapped out everything of what ride we were going on and when. She mapped out where we were going to eat and which specific corn dog cart we were going to go to, because it mattered to her. Otherwise, I would have just been hanging out with Peter Pan all day and been like, oh, I can't believe I paid $135 to go on one ride. She kept me moving forward. It mattered to her. It made a difference. And let me tell you, our personalities are not supposed to be the same. They're not supposed to all just perfectly mesh well together. Sometimes we struggle. Sometimes we have to figure out how we see things and why we see things certain ways, because God designed it that way to strengthen our life. I'm so happy my wife is the way she is because it helps me move forward. It helps me break away and remember the main thing sometimes. It helps me remember who I am and where I'm supposed to be. Do you see it, church family? We got to know our personality and we got to know other people's personality as well. So that's the first part of our shape. And guess what? We want you to know your personality and we want you to make the most of your personality. So here's what we've done. We've created a resource. You're going to hear me reference it all throughout this message today. But I want you to get your phones out right now, or if you're taking notes, write this keyword down. It's very long. Okay, it's very easy to forget. But text me to the number on the screen. People online, they're putting it in the chat as well, to our number there, 480-470-0800. Did I memorize it right? Good. So text me. It's going to bring you to a list of our personality quiz. We call it the DISC test, D-I-S-C, okay? You're going to figure out what your personality is. You're going to figure out how your personality works with the other personalities and why the other personalities work like they do. It's going to be great. So make sure to do that. So that's the first part of our shape. What is it? Say it out loud. Personality. The second part of our shape is something that God actually gifts to each and every one of us. Something that God says, hey, I have a gift for you. Here it is. Okay, that's how God talks. So here's what he gives us, okay? This is the second part of our shape, and this is our spiritual gifts. Write that down. Our spiritual gifts. So what are spiritual gifts? We're going to get to that in a moment. But before we do, I want to show you how God designed our spiritual gifts to actually work and function in our life. Okay, I got a couple verses for you. 1 Corinthians 12:7 says this, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. 1 Peter 4:10 says, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. 1 Corinthians 4:12 says, so it is with you. Since you are eager for gifts of the Spirit, try to excel in those that build up the church. I'm going to say this. Spiritual gifts are gifts that God gives to his people so that they can help other people, serve other people, and build his church. Help other people, serve other people, and build his church. That's not about me. Like, I thought this was about me, right? Like, the spiritual gifts are not about us. It's all about other people. Just like other people's spiritual gifts are not about them, but they're for you. God uses his spiritual gifts so other people can find the help that they need, so they can be served the way that they need to be served, and so the church can be strong in its region that God placed in. And there are a variety of different spiritual gifts. There's evangelism, there's exhortation, there's faith, there's giving, there's healing, there's hospitality, there's leadership, there's miracles, there's worship, there's pastoring, there's prophecy, serving, teaching, and so many more. So many different more. But God sees you and he has a place for you at his church. Like Pastor Dave was saying a moment ago, I love the series title, The Family Table. God has put you here on purpose for a time such as this, in this season, in 2022, with your gifts, with your personalities, because you have a place at the table. Listen to this. In 1 Peter 2:5, it says, "You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house." LifeLink, you are in a spiritual house today. "To be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." God is building his church. God is building his church. And because God is so good, and he hasn't just established a few to carry out everything he wants, he's built a chair, he's crafted a chair, and given it to you to say, go pull up at that table. He's given you the gifts he's given you. He's given you the personality he's given you so that you can come into this church or wherever God calls you and say, hey, here's my chair. Where's the table? Hey, I'm a building. God told me that I have these gifts. He's put personality. He's put destiny in me. I don't want to sit on it away from people, being introverted. I don't want to sit on it and just stay only at home and just say, well, this is what I feel God's doing. So if they call me, then maybe. No, you pull up your chair and you say, I got my chair. Tell me where to sit. Are we sitting in the kitchen today? Okay. Are we sitting in the basement today? Okay. Are we in the living room today? Sounds great. I'm pulling up my chair. God has put you in a spiritual house to build up that spiritual house so it can be strong. Someone needs to hear this today. Some of us are really okay with other people doing everything. Some of us are okay sitting there week after week, and I'm not trying to call you out or bring condemnation over you, but I'm trying to highlight something to you because God is saying, maybe this is the season, this is the year where I need you to recognize what I've called you to do, why I've brought you to this church, and how you're going to help change the world around you and make this church stronger. So I'm going to challenge you this week, church family. We got something to help you find your personality, to know your personality. But we also have something for you that's going to help you discover what your spiritual gifts are. What I love about LifeLink is that we link people and God together for life. Pastor Dave mentioned it a little bit ago. That's our mission. That's why we're here. We're not here to just have fun every week and say, that was a great service. See you next week. We want to change our valley. We want to change our footprint, south of the 60, east of the 101. And we know that it's not Pastor Dave and Pastor E that get to do that by themselves. We know that God's given them amazing vision. And I'm not talking down about pastors. They would say the same thing, but better if they were right here. But God's given them a vision, and God's brought you here to be a part of that vision, to carry out that vision, to change your neighborhood, to change your hospitals you're a part of. All the medical people just sit right here so I can just say that thing. To change your schools that you're a part of. He's given you a place here so you can be equipped, you can be strengthened, you can find freedom, and then you can go out there and change that world that needs changing. So we want you to discover what your personality is and discover what those spiritual gifts are. So we have a spiritual gifts test here at LifeLink. And you're going to be so happy that it's not me giving it to you. There's some of you who have gone through Growth Track with me, and you know that I'm just dry when I say questions. It's okay. It's all good. But you get to do it on your own time this week. So what we've done is we provided this resource. Again, I've already given you the keyword. What is it? Shout out if you know it.
Me.
Me. That's right. Someone said text me. Come on. It's just me, guys. Sorry. But text me to that number on the screen, and it's going to take you right to that resource. And it's going to give you that personality quiz. It's going to help you find your spiritual gifts. Come on, y'all. We need to start helping people more effectively. We need to start serving people better. And we need all of us to build a stronger church, right? So finally, the last part of our shape. You guys ready for this? We got our personality. We got our spiritual gifts. And then finally, this last part is something that ties into what you have a heart for, which is this word, passion. Passion. All of us have passion for something. All of us have a heart for something that means something to me, maybe more than it does to my neighbor or my friends or maybe even my family or maybe my spouse. I have a passion for something. We all have a heart for something. And the Bible really sums up what our heart is. And it highlights that our heart is really boils down to our desires, our hopes, our interests, our dreams. It's our inner self. Our heart is the source of motivation, or is the source for all of our motivation. It's what we love to do. It's what we care about most. And man, let me tell you, when you're passionate about something, that's when you're going to be the most effective. When you're passionate about something, that's when you're going to have the most enthusiasm, right? When you're doing something that you love, you're going to be good at it. When you're doing something that you're like, man, I was built for this. I was designed for this. I care about this. Everything in my heart is for this thing I'm doing. It's so easy to get out of bed and find real fulfillment. And let me tell you something, church family. God wants you to be fulfilled. God wants you to be full in your life. God wants to free you. God wants to save you. But he also tells us that he wants to give us a rich and a satisfying life. He wants us to be fulfilled. And when our passion is directed with him and he gets to guide and shape our passion, he's going to show us how we can maximize that fulfillment. And God has specifically for you a passion for a ministry in the church and a mission in the world. He's passioned you with something with that. Maybe you love doing a couple different things. Maybe you love developing. Maybe you love organizing or pioneering new things. Maybe you love serving. Maybe you're a performer. Maybe you love influencing or improving things or repairing or leading. Pause real quick. Maybe you always are like wanting to improve things. You can go, why don't people care about this like I do? Because God's given you the eyes to see things that we can't see. So you have maybe you have a passion for the next generation. I feel you on that one. Maybe you have a passion to feed the homeless or for foster kids. Maybe you have a passion to go visit sick people in the hospital to pray for them. Maybe you want to build a business. You're an entrepreneur. You want to create something that's never been seen before, and you got a passion for that. Well, God's given you that passion for a reason, church family. It's so that you can change the world and help build the church. He's given you a passion to help change the world and help build the church. Oh, you thought the passion was just for you? To just amass a bunch of wealth, retire early? No, that's not it. Again, I'm not calling, if you can retire early, do your thing. I love it. I'm excited for you. But I'm telling you right now, the passion that God's put inside of you is to affect the world around you and to help build a strong church. I got extra time, so I'm gonna say this, okay? My grandma is in her like mid-70s, okay? And she is finding the most fulfillment she's ever found in her life right now. She's retired. She could easily just sit at home and just watch like, you know, TBN or whatever the Bible Network is. I think that's what it stands for, the Bible Network. Good, I remember it. But she could easily do that. But instead, she ministers to what she knows she's called to minister to women. And she doesn't just help people that are in the same season she's in. She speaks to the next generation. She helps high schoolers. She helps people who are mothers. She helps people who are in the same season. But she's finding so much fulfillment. Do you wanna know why? Because she's found her purpose. She was an insurance adjuster for 40 plus years. But her purpose is ministering to women now. And she's finding fulfillment in everything she's doing. That was for you, Grandma. She's in Texas right now, right? Yeah. My whole family actually is in Texas right now. My mom, Paul, my aunt and uncle, they all heard I was preaching. They're like, we gotta go to Texas. I'm sorry. Sorry about that, man. But let me ask you a couple questions here. Let me ask you a couple questions here. What church issues, what ministries or what possible needs in the church excite you or concern you most? When you find the answer to that question, this might be God highlighting what your ministry in the church is. I'm passionate about students. Is there any student movement people in the house? Thank you, adults, for filling in that deafening student noise. But I'm passionate about the next generation. What are you passionate about? Maybe you're passionate about people. Maybe you're passionate about organizing. You're like, I want to make this church the most organized church that has ever been in the history of any church in Arizona. Maybe you're passionate about guitar and you're like, man, I want to make sure that this church is always going to have an acoustic guitar player when it needs one. Whatever that is, I'm harping on, you know, next gen and worship, but there's lots of different things that you could be passionate about. God's going to use that passion to effectively change this church and to strengthen it in a mighty way. Let me ask you this. This is my favorite question to ask people. If God said that you couldn't fail, okay, get in that in your mind. God says you cannot fail. It is impossible for you to fail in doing this. What would you do with your life? What would you do with your life? When you can answer that question, that's probably going to highlight what your mission in the world is. God's given us a ministry in the church, and he's given us a mission in the world. We don't just stop at these four walls. We don't just stop in our spiritual house that God's built us in. We don't leave our chair here and say, we'll see you next week. We go out into our world and say, okay, God, my eyes are open, my ears are open, my heart is open. Bring me people who need you. Bring me people that need a change. Bring me people who need Jesus in a real way. So for the last time, church family, I'm going to encourage you with this. Text that word me. If you haven't done so already, maybe you're dealing with some rebellion in your heart. That's okay. Forgive you. But text that word me. Write that down. It's going to give you, take you to a resource for your personality, help you figure out what your personality is. It's going to help you figure out what your spiritual gifts are. But it's also going to get you to our dream team roster, our ministry list that we have that highlight all the different serve opportunities that we have here at church. Sometimes when we're not a part, by the way, we call that the dream team here, okay? But sometimes when we haven't taken our seat yet, when we haven't pulled up to the table, we kind of don't really understand all that goes into a Sunday. Maybe we don't have kids, so we have no idea the life change that's happening right behind this wall. Maybe we don't have preteens or students, so we don't see the worshiping hearts and the life change that's happening. But we see what's happening out there in the parking lot, from the lobby to in here. And God has a place for you. God has a chair. Y'all, Jesus was a carpenter. He built things out of wood. And he built a wooden chair for you and said, here you go. Pull up at the table. I've given you something. That was a bad Jesus joke. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Intercede for me, Jesus. But I want to challenge you. Figure it out what you're passionate about. Figure out what you're passionate about. Guess what? Students, you're not waiting until you're graduated. You're not waiting until your parents say, okay, you can serve now. Pester them. Oh, God, forgive me. Pester them and say, I want to serve. I think I found my place. I want to serve at Kids Little. Help me get there on time. And then parents, let's have an open heart in the season and say, yeah, let's do it. I'll serve with you. But this is the season to figure out what is our place. It's not the season to just receive anymore. Let me tell you something. I love this country so much. I love this country, but a mentality that has crept its way into the church is a consumer mentality. We're consumers out there in the world, but we can't be consumers in the church. If we think that our consumer mentality, we can just come into our church and sit down and say, okay, I just need to be fed. I just need to get something for me because, you know, I got to go into my week. We will do that every week. You will be equipped. You will be strengthened. But we cannot have another year go by where Christians and followers are just sitting and receiving without being filled up and then pouring back out. That's what's going to build a strong church. That's what's going to strengthen our valley. That's what's going to change our government. That's what's going to change our cities. That's what's going to change our school systems. That's what's going to change every level of our society is when we get filled up and we pour back out, when we know our ministry in the church and when we know our mission in the world. So text me to that number. So we all have a design. We all have a destiny. Our design is found in our shape. It's found in our personality. It's found in our spiritual gifts, and it's found in our passion. And our destiny is our ministry in the church and our mission in the world. But wouldn't you know it, just like with anything else in our life, what God has created, there's a real enemy that wants to destroy it. There's a real enemy. The devil wants to destroy everything that God creates. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2 highlights something so profound here. To us. says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind that he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him." Verse 2 says, "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." You know what this verse is highlighting to us? There's a real big pull to get our attention. There's a real big pull to get our influence. The world wants to desperately influence each and every one of us. God desperately wants to influence each and every one of us. Here's the thing. If we let the world influence us, what are we talking about today? We're talking about our shape. We're talking about our design, our destiny. When we let the world influence us, we're letting the world influence our personality, our gifts, our passion, our ministry, and our mission. You know what happens if I do that? I start to use my personality to get what I want. I start to use my gifts God's given me to manipulate people. My passion turns into anger because people just don't see it my way. My ministry and my mission become all about me instead of how can I best serve other people. That's what happens when the world gets a hold of our heart, when the world gets a hold of our desires, our innermost self, our dreams. It pollutes and it distorts everything that God has shaped us and destined us with. But here's the thing, if God influences my life, he transforms me into a new person. When I submit to his lordship, here's what happens. He's the one who's leading me. Every part of my life is his. Now what happens is my personality, my gifts, my passion, my ministry, my mission, it's all his. When I submit to him, he reveals his will for my life. And you know what he tells me when I submit to him, when I let him transform me into a new person? He says his will for my life is going to be good, is going to be pleasing, and it's going to be perfect. See, when the world has influence over us, it's hard to see the good. It's hard to find fulfillment. And it for sure isn't perfect. But God says, I want you to find real fulfillment in me. I want you to find, to experience the good things in life. And what I have for you is just perfect for you. So we really hope that you're excited to discover this week your design, your shape, discover your personality, your spiritual gifts, discover what you're passionate about. And we're excited for you to figure out what your destiny is, your ministry in the church, your mission in the world. And I truly believe this church family that this is the year where we break through to the other side, where we break through and say, this is the year where I'm gonna pull up, I'm gonna sit down, and I'm gonna serve. Where I'm gonna cross that threshold that for years I've had all the reasons, all the excuses, and everyone's backed me up and said, hey, I get it, this is why you can't do it. But we're gonna lay those things down and say, it doesn't matter what's in my life right now stopping me, I'm gonna push those things aside so I can find true fulfillment with God in this season. I can't wait for you to discover. Next week is all about going through our design and destiny and how it really helps and how all of us fit somewhere on the dream team. So you're not going to want to miss next week. But between today and next Sunday, make sure you text that word me. Text that word me and figure out what your personality is. Figure out what your spiritual gifts are, what you're passionate about, because it's going to help you discover what your ministry in the church is and what your mission in the world is. You guys want to know why I'm so passionate about this? I'm so passionate about this today because I love the church. I'm so blessed for my ministry in the church to serve as a pastor here at LifeLink Church. My mission is to help people fall in love with the local church because it was here at the church that God changed my life. When I was 15 years old, I was angry, I was lost, I was confused, I was broken. And it was the men and the women who knew their ministry in the church and served their ministry in the church that helped change my life. They showed me who I was, they showed me who God was, and they helped me find my ministry and my mission. People like Dave Alley, people like Pastor Sheree, people like Pastor Dave, like Pastor Carrie, like Ron Nelson, these men and women who changed my life and helped me find what I'm passionate about and help God change my life. Church family, it's time for us. It's time for us to learn our purpose, to help people link with God together for life, because we need to change our world and we need to build a stronger church. And there's some of us in here, take my glasses off. There's some of us in here who maybe we're stuck at the top of the message. We don't find fulfillment in life. We haven't found joy. We don't know where to go. And it's hard for us to envision, what is this whole shape? How has God shaped me? How has God put destiny in me? When I can't even get past myself, I'm not even close to God in that way. And today, there's some of us in here who need to take that first step to choose to get close to God. Choose to take our next step with God. Choose to start a relationship with Him. So church family, will you bow your heads? Will you close your eyes? If I'm speaking to you in here today, I want to challenge you and encourage you. God is here right now. And He's saying, if you want to be close with me, all you have to do is come close. Just say yes. Take your next step right now. So what I want to do is I want to pray a prayer for each and every one of us in here. And I would just like all of us to pray that prayer. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for giving me the truth of your word. Today I recognize that I haven't been as close to you. I've lived life my own way. I've sinned against you. But today, I'm choosing to give my life to you and to come close to you. In this season, will you reveal your purpose for me? Help shape me, help direct me, and help transform me. Thank you for sending your son Jesus into this world to die on a cross for me, to pay the penalty of my sins, and for saving me. Thank you again. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you are blessed by God's word. For more information, visit lifelinkchurch.com.